Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. This is Shirley Stolzer along with her partner Marcy Schwartz in Dr. Neil Wald's office at the School of Public Health on this date of July 26, 1993, and this is our third session with Dr. Wald. And so, Dr. Wald, would you just say a word so we know we can hear you well?
Yes, I'm very glad that the previous recordings worked out after all.
Thank you. Dr. Wald, you had told us that as a result of your interest in the effects of radiation in hematological studies, that you were encouraged to go to Hiroshima after you left, after you were completed your term with the Air Force, and I believe that was in 1954?
Yeah, that's correct. In August 1954, we went to Japan.
Good. Now, you just said we, and I know you're including your wife, but we and before we go on to Hiroshima, could we know a little bit about your wife? We know nothing of her first name or particularly what she did, what her interests were, how you met and so forth, when you were married. We'll just briefly go over your that part of your family.
Okay. I think I covered a little of that the first time, but her name is Lucienne.
L-U-C-I-N-N-E.
And the name is the result of having a French mother. We met through the inadvertent cooperation of a friend of mine, a close friend and classmate of mine, way back in PS6 and high school, and yeah, I'm sure I mentioned his mother was a pianist, and she was visiting my wife to be was visiting her aunt who lived in the apartment across the hall, and I met her the first time when I went to see my friend Alex, and we were going to help Lucien's, incidentally the diminutive is Lulette, and that's the name we've always used.
Of your wife?
Yeah. And Alex and I were going to help Lulette's Aunt Susie move a bed from one room to another, and Lulette was along with him. He had met her when he was walking the dog, and she liked dogs, so they got to talking, and that's how he met. I didn't see her again for a year or two. When I was in medical school, I think he came to my place on 30th Street, and she was along just briefly. He was bringing me something I've forgotten now. But we kept getting thrown together because his mother was a concert pianist, and he always helped with the arrangements when she played at Carnegie Hall and things like that. And I would be invited to go, and so would Lulette, and since Alex was busy with the details of the concert, I looked after his girl. And
do you remember about what year that was?
Yeah, well, med school was, I guess I met her around 1947, 48, and I got interested in knowing her better, and I think, as I mentioned, the night we got a ride from Ossining back to the city, his family had a summer place in Ossining, and several members of the family had places there. They had a party, and I went out, and so did Lulette separately, but we got a ride home together to New York with Teddy Wilson. And I think I started demanding her phone number, and he held out for a year, but finally, I think he met enough other people by then or something. And
you were quite a gentleman. You didn't ask her for her phone number.
Well, I had known him a lot longer. I mean, that was since early elementary school all the way through high school. And, so I guess I waited, waited for him. And then we started dating when I was an intern, I guess. So it was summer of 48. And when things got more serious, we realized we had problems with her parents and with my parents. And it took a while, and there were times when it didn't seem worth the trouble, the grief, the pain. And we finally decided to just see what happened after I went off into the Air Force. Went in July 52 down to Texas. Of course, I did hitch rides to New York now and then. Being in the Air Force, hitching a ride, I mean, you know, you could go anywhere in the country or beyond it if you had the time and somebody would take you aboard. Yeah, so. So I hitchhopped, as we called it, to see my parents and to see Lulette. And we were running up some pretty big phone bills. Since I had to use the bachelor officer's quarters and they took my whole pay allowance for half of a two-room suite with a roommate that I didn't get to pick, I thought that was a pretty bad deal, and if I got married, I'd get my quarters allowance and pick my roommate. So we got married in May 53.
In New York or at the base?
In New York. While I was in Texas, my father arranged for my wife to get instructions for prior to conversion, and she became a convert. And my parents arranged the wedding, since her parents wouldn't have anything to do with it. What to please my wife, so she wouldn't have to lie to her parents, we went down to City Hall first. Had a civil marriage on the same weekend. She went, stayed with her sister in New Jersey, and I went to my parents, and then 2 days later we had our religious wedding. So she was able to tell her parents that she had a civil wedding, and my parents participated in the religious wedding.
Did her parents participate in a civil marriage?
No, they were in St. Louis, and they didn't come in.
And did your wife convert Orthodox? Was her conversion process Orthodox?
The rabbi was Orthodox. He was the rabbi of a conservative congregation, but he himself was Orthodox. Some of my family participated. Some of my uncles were there, served as the witnesses and all that. A couple of my uncles didn't attend, although their wives, at least one of the wives did, and her husband didn't. and
didn't attend the wedding.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Was it satisfied?
The rabbi didn't attend.
Your uncle.
Not. That's right.
Was it satisfactory to your parents when she agreed to convert?
Yeah, they liked her. That wasn't an issue. It was simply the religious issue, and
right.
I think it was satisfactory to them. I mean, they arranged the wedding and everything. I was down in Texas, so
right.
I couldn't do much.
Were you able to take off time to go away after the wedding?
Just the time to get from New York back to Texas. That was our honeymoon. And then I had to go off on a project at Los Alamos and leave her there.
By the way, was your wife born in America?
Yeah.
She was.
Her father was, I guess he had retired as dean of the architecture school at Washington University. He had been an architectural student, and he was studying architecture in Paris as a graduate student. And he met his wife, mother-in-law there, and they got married about a year later, I think it was. He was Protestant, she was Catholic, so
was a difference there too.
Yeah, not only that difference, but he had been brought up, as I said, as your tape reminded me, he was born where the Empire State Building is now, but the family had at least temporarily moved to England during his early education period, and then he had studied at McGill and Columbia. So a lot of his education, his formative years, were spent in the British environment rather than American. And that was quite a mixture.
Yeah.
Something part American, part British, and French wife.
Did your wife have siblings?
Yeah, she has an older sister and a brother who's just a year younger than she is.
Did they participate at your religious wedding? Did they come?
I know that my sister-in-law was there. I think my brother-in-law was, too. I know my sister-in-law was at both. And Alex, my friend through whom I met my wife, was at both.
Nice.
But I'm a little vague. It was all kind of hectic.
Fast.
Since I wasn't there in advance, we had to get a permission from a judge to bypass the waiting period on the blood test. And we were rushing around to City Hall on a Friday afternoon trying to catch a judge. We were married on Sunday and took off for Texas. So it
was a
memorable,
a little
hectic
weekend.
Yeah.
Because it was hectic.
Yeah, I remember one incident in particular at my parents'. It was an apartment hotel on 86th Street, and I was on my way to the rabbi's apartment, which was where the reception of the marriage took place, and got out of the elevator in the lobby, and there was a woman lying right in front of the elevator door on the floor. She had fainted or something, and there I was. I was a little late already for the wedding, and I was wearing my silver tan uniform, and the Oath of Hippocrates was still relatively fresh, and, you know. So I did take a look. I stopped long enough to make sure that she was breathing, and, and then I stepped over her and got to the wedding.
Uh-huh.
But it was all a little bit of a blur.
Mm-hmm. Did you, after the wedding, did you have a relationship with your in-laws? Did they then accept the two of you?
Yeah, well, I mentioned my mother-in-law was a hypochondriac, and I think she was very pleased with the idea of a doctor I built in. we got along very well. I mean, other than the same thing as my wife's situation with my parents, they liked me, and they were older, somewhat older than my parents. They had my father-in-law had married late, and I had visited once in St. Louis before we were married, and I think one of the most memorable moments, my father-in-law wanted to, he wasn't my father-in-law then, he wanted to talk to me, and I called him to his study, and he asked me, he said he wanted to know what my intentions were toward his daughter. Mm-hmm. I had never heard a line like that delivered outside of
movies.
It was, he was old-fashioned. He and my father had a strong resemblance, oddly enough, so that my wife resembles her father, and when she was with my father on occasion, people thought that she was his daughter.
That's interesting.
Anyway, we did, you know, my relationship with my in-laws was, I don't think, ever really impeded. I think his general view from his background was that just generically, Jews were not people that he expected to associate with, but individually, he had no problem at all.
Tell me, did your wife go through college? And
no, she...
Educationally.
She studied design at Washington U, but she didn't take a degree program. Mm-hmm. She was always good at art work, and then with the war, she got steered into design. She started working for Curtis Wright, and was doing drafting work.
Curtis Wright was the
airplane manufacturer, and they needed draftsmen, but they didn't have draftsmen, so they settled for draftswomen.
Was that during the war?
During the war, and then they transferred her from their plant in St. Louis to Buffalo, New York, and then she got interested in going further with art, so she went to New York and studied Art Students League. She also got involved with theater and was doing also some studying in drama. When I met her, she was working at Blue Cross, some mundane stenographic work in the evening so that she could do this artwork and theater. Then she went into nursing about, I was, I guess, interning already by then. She went, well, it was a housing shortage post-war. It was very difficult to find places to live, and Bellevue was offering a stipend and tuition and a place to live, and I think maybe she got interested in medicine to some extent because of me also, so she went to Bellevue School of Nursing.
That was post-World War II.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she finished about the time I finished my last residency. She was an OR nurse at Columbia Presbyterian when I left. When we got married, I took her away from PNS. She worked at Oak Ridge when I was taking a course there. When I was sent there by the Air Force, she worked as an OR nurse. It was a couple of months long, so she worked there. But then came children, and she didn't work anymore. But she did go to college, graduated magna cum laude here at Pitt.
Oh.
After the kids were old enough, so that she
when
could
was
go
that?
Back.
Do you remember when she came, when you moved here?
We came here in 58.
Mm-hmm. And she went to school?
Not right away, mm-hmm. But so I'm not sure. It may have been in the early 70s. And she went back for a master's in special education and worked for PARC, the Pennsylvania Association for Retarded Citizens,
yes.
As an instructor for newborn and to the first year. So she'd go to the homes and mm-hmm. try to help the parents and get the kids started. No, she continued painting and then started writing and joined Chatham College, the one down the street on Forbes. Carlo College. Right. Ever since they changed the name, I have trouble with it. Carlo has a program, a workshop in writing for women.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Mad Women in the Attic. And she's one of the mad women. She's gotten involved in poetry as well as short stories. She just won, a second prize for poetry and third prize for a short story at the Westmoreland Festival of Arts. And
she's very talented, creative.
Yeah, very.
Did you say MAG, M-A-G?
Mad Women, what, the
name the, of
at Carlo? Mad Women in the
oh,
Attic.
Oh, Mad.
Yeah.
Who want to get out of there.
Yeah.
Right,
do something. Well, something you keep hidden away, the Mad Women in the Attic.
Uh-huh.
It's the program is now developing into a graduate program at Carlo.
Is she doing some teaching?
No, she signed up for a couple of courses.
Good.
So she's very active in her new career.
Good.
She's been published in a few anthologies, and she's having a good time with it.
She's been published in her poetry and
Stories? And short stories have appeared in.
Good. Does she go under her name of Wall?
Yeah.
We'll have to look for them.
Yeah.
Tell me, you start to say that she was working as a nurse until the children start to come.
Right.
How many children? Could you tell us who the children are, their names and ages, and what they're doing?
Yeah, she was pregnant when we went to Japan. Mm-hmm. I think I mentioned the odd fact of my mother and her deathbed. I accused my wife of not telling her that she was pregnant, and my wife didn't really know it. But she was, my mother was right, and she was, and David was born in Japan. Osaka Army Hospital.
In 1955.
Mm-hmm. And Philip was born just outside of Hiroshima at the little army post we lived in 1956. And we decided to postpone returning to the U.S. for another year so the kids would be a little older and make it a little easier to travel. So, David inherited, I think, some of the creativity. I've always been a photographer, and when he went to Falk School here at Pitt, he had a class project in, I think, the sixth grade, used a little movie camera I had and made a movie.
Mm.
And he won some awards from Kodak, secondary school competition, photography. Went to St. John's. Well, the boys both went to Alderdice, and David went to St. John's, which is very much a liberal arts college.
Where is that?
In Annapolis, and had a branch in Santa Fe. He took his first 2 years in Annapolis and Santa Fe, and got involved with the Santa Fe Opera and was videotaping for them. They taped their rehearsals. So he went to New York and just first did photography and then found his way into video. Found an apartment which he shared with a couple of other guys on Canal Street, which intrigued me because my grandfather's first place that he lived in New York was also on Canal Street. And three generations we were back there. David became an editor for CBS for 48 hours, Dan Rather's program.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to get into producing, but he was a very good editor, and they didn't encourage him to move because they wanted him to go on editing. So he shifted to WCBS, the local station, and started producing for them some public service programs designed to give New Yorkers a more optimistic view of their city. And then a new program was starting called Street Stories, and on the network again, and the local station lent him back to the network. He was an assistant producer on Street Stories. And he shifted to NBC, and he is developing, he's one of the producers on a new series that NBC is developing. It's still a magazine type of program that hasn't been aired yet. In fact, the name, last I spoke to him, the name hadn't been settled on, so I can't even tell you what it is. But he's very active and
so they're both
creative.
Out of town.
Philip is no longer alive. Philip had chronic illness, which resulted in his death about 6 years ago. He had been he had gone into computers, I think, again, influenced by, they used to come here. Part of my research involves computerizing biomedical tests, chromosome analysis in particular. I've been working on automating the techniques so that we can do population studies with them. And so the kids used to come in and play Space War on the computer, and Philip stayed in computers, went through computer science program here at Pitt, got his bachelor's, and was working up in Boston with a computer company. He died. So so David continues, and we'll be seeing our granddaughter.
Oh, he's married.
Yeah, a week from Sunday, it's her third birthday.
Good.
Our next visit.
Is
he's
that
married.
One grandchild?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they live in Manhattan. He found a girl with a rent-controlled apartment, which kind of intrigued
that
me since Dad
was,
I think I mentioned my father was the rent, the chief area attorney, the chief attorney for the area. Rent control, and David was benefiting all these
years
later.
That's most unusual to find one today, because nobody moves out of them.
Yeah, well, that's their problem, is it isn't the greatest place to be raising a kid, but on the other hand, the price is right. But they are looking now to move out.
Was Philip not married?
Philip was married.
Oh, he was.
No children, though.
Yeah. Are you in touch with your former, with your daughter-in-law?
Yes, as much as she wants. We don't.
Yes.
Our feeling is, you know, she's young and, you know, she'd go on with her life, and but occasionally we hear from her.
How old was he?
Philip was about 29 and a half, just short of 30.
Time.
Yeah, you never get over it, I guess.
No. Well, let's go back then now, and let's pick up from...
Your question, Dr. Lord, what's your granddaughter's
name? Esther.
Was she named after someone in your family?
No, that was someone in... my daughter-in-law's family.
Nice.
Or at least it was a version of a name.
Of that.
Was
did your
family.
Daughter-in-law work?
Yeah, she's psychiatric social worker.
Okay.
She runs apparently a very successful program to get battered women back into